Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, October 15th. Today, we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a hot topic. Let's dive right in. Today, we're discussing the recent protests at W.K. Kellogg Co.'s headquarters in Michigan. Protesters are demanding the removal of artificial colors from cereals sold in the U.S. Eric, what's your take on this situation?
Well, Ted, it's fascinating to see this play out. Kellogg's already ditched artificial colors in other countries, you know? Take Canada, for instance. Their Fruit Loops are jazzed up with natural fruit juices. It's like they're saying, hey, America, we can do this if we want to. It's totally doable, which makes you wonder why they're dragging their feet here.
Oh, come on, Eric. Just because something's possible doesn't mean it's necessary. You're making
Kate,
sound like...
But Kate, over 400,000 people have signed petitions asking for this change. That's not just a drop in the
numbers can be misleading, Eric. Consumer panic doesn't equal scientific fact. Kellogg's already stated that 85% of their cereal sales are free from artificial colors. That's a pretty big slice of the pie, if you ask me. They're clearly not sitting on their hands.
You both raise interesting points. Now let's talk about the specific artificial colors in question. What are they, and why are they stirring up so much controversy?
All right, Ted, here's the scoop. We're looking at a rainbow of trouble. Red dye number 40, yellow dye number 5, yellow dye number 6, and blue dye number 1. These aren't your garden variety food coloring. They're synthetic dyes that some studies have linked to hyperactivity in kids. It's like giving some children a sugar rush, but potentially worse.
Oh, please. You're blowing this way out of proportion. Those studies are far from conclusive. These dyes have been around for ages.
But why take the risk, Kate? Kellogg's already using natural alternatives like carrot juice, watermelon juice, and blueberry juice in other countries. It's like they're serving up a fruit salad.
Cost and consumer preference, Eric. It's not rocket science. Kellogg's has flat out said that U.S. consumers haven't shown the same appetite for natural alternatives as other markets. You can't force-feed people what
they don't
want.
Let's shift gears a bit and talk about BHT. Eric, why are protesters also taking aim at this preservative?
Well, Ted, BHT, or butylated hydroxytoluene, if you want to get fancy, is a synthetic antioxidant. Now, before you think that sounds healthy, here's the kicker. Some studies suggest it might be carcinogenic in high doses. It's like inviting a party crasher into your bowl of cereal. Some countries have already shown BHT the door when it comes to food.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Eric, that's pure fear-mongering. The amounts used in food are nowhere near those levels. BHT actually does us a favor by preventing rancidity.
Interesting perspectives. Now let's look at a similar situation from the past. The removal of trans fats from processed foods comes to mind. Eric, can you draw a parallel for us?
Absolutely, Ted. Cast your mind back to the early 2000s. There was this massive push to kick trans fats out of processed foods faster than you can say heart disease. At first, the FDA said, hey, you got to label this stuff. But by 2015, they went full on banhammer. It's like trans fats got voted off the food island.
That's a completely false equivalence, Eric. Trans fats were proven to be harmful. These food dyes are nowhere near that level.
But Kate, the principle is the same. We're talking about potentially harmful ingredients that we can swap out for safer options. Look at Kraft Heinz. They've already made similar changes.
The key word there is potentially. Eric, trans fats were conclusively linked to heart disease. These dyes haven't been proven harmful to the general population. You're comparing apples and artificially colored oranges.
How did the trans fat removal affect the food industry and consumers?
Well, Ted, it was like trying to turn a cargo ship. Slow and with a lot of resistance at first. The industry pushed back, worried about costs and whether their food would taste like cardboard. But consumers adapted faster than you can say 0 grams trans fat, and now it's just the way things are. It's like we all collectively decided to eat healthier without even noticing.
That's true. But it also led to increased use of palm oil, which has its own can of worms when it comes to environmental issues. We need to
Fair
think
point,
about the
Kate.
Domino effect.
But in this case, we're talking about natural fruit and vegetable juices as alternatives. That's hardly controversial. It's like swapping out a candy bar for an actual
It's not just
apple.
About the alternatives, Eric. It's about respecting consumer choice and not jumping on every health bandwagon that rolls by. Some people actually prefer the taste of cereals with artificial colors.
How did government regulation play a role in the trans fat situation? And how might it apply here?
The FDA's actions on trans fats were the real game changer, Ted. They didn't just suggest changes, they laid down the law. Fast forward to today, and we're seeing similar rumblings at the state level when it comes to food dyes. California's leading the charge, banning 6 food dyes from public school foods. It's like they're setting up dominoes. Knock one down, and the rest might follow.
That's one state, Eric. One, it's hardly a nationwide consensus, and it only applies to schools, not the general market. You're making
Let's look ahead. Out of a molehill. How do you think this situation will unfold? Eric, what's your prediction?
I've got my money on a gradual phase out of artificial dyes in cereals, Ted. As more states follow California's lead, it'll become a no-brainer for Kellogg to switch to natural alternatives nationwide. It's like when everyone started carrying reusable shopping bags, suddenly it just became the thing to do.
That's overly optimistic, Eric. I think we'll see a split market. Some brands will go all natural to cater to the kale smoothie crowd, while others will stick with artificial dyes.
But Kate, don't you think consumer pressure will eventually force all brands to make the switch? We've seen this happen with other ingredients. It's like a snowball.
Not necessarily, Eric. There's still a huge market for artificially colored foods. Not everyone is willing to pay extra for natural dyes. Some people just want their cereal to look like a rainbow in a bowl.
What about the role of new technology? Could that impact this debate?
Absolutely, Ted. We're seeing some really cool advancements in natural color extraction and stability. It's like food scientists are becoming color alchemists. This could be the key to making natural alternatives more cost-effective and viable for mass production. Imagine getting the same vibrant colors from beets or turmeric. It's not just possible. It's happening.
That's all speculation, Eric. Current natural alternatives often don't provide the same vibrant colors or stability. That's why many consumers prefer the artificial versions. It's like comparing
But Kate, consumer preferences can change. Look at the organic food movement. People are increasingly willing to pay more for perceived health benefits. It's like how we used to think margarine was healthier than
The key word
butter.
There is perceived, Eric. There's no solid evidence that these natural alternatives are any healthier than the artificial dyes. You're selling a feel-good story, not
Final
fat.
Question. How might this affect Kellogg's brand image moving forward?
I think Kellogg has a golden opportunity here, Ted. By proactively removing artificial dyes, they could really boost their image as a health-conscious brand. It's like they could be the cool parent of the cereal world, the one that lets you eat fun, colorful cereal but still cares about your health. They could really set themselves apart.
Or they could alienate consumers who like their products as they are. Brand loyalty in the cereal market is stronger than superglue. These changes could backfire spectacularly. It's
well,
like
folks,
Coke all over.
It looks like this debate is as colorful as the cereals we've been discussing. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their insights. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the coming months. Until next time, keep your eyes on your cereal bowls and your ears tuned to listen too.